from a railway carriage on The Pat Kenny Show, with thanks to Irish Rail. Rediscover the joy of the train.
Now, last week we began a new series with thanks to Irish Rail as we set to rediscover the joys of the train. A frequent railway traveller, Senator Mary Louise O'Donnell, brings us thoughts from a railway carriage. And to find out where she went this week, she joins me in studio. Mary Louise, good morning.
Good morning, Pat, and thank you very much again for having me. And View from a Railway Carriage this week went to Westport and down to Houston Station. And, you know, it's the first time I looked at Houston Station really from the Lewis, because I got the red line down. And it's quite a beautiful station, built in 1846. Very Italian palazzo look. And you forget to look at it sometimes because you always find yourself in
You're
the middle
in.
Of it. Yes, as opposed to looking at the beautiful building outside. And of course, once you go into Houston Station, it is moving luggage and moving eating people, because everybody's on the move eating and full of luggage. So in the cab with me, because that's the advantage of this series, being able to sit in the cab and see the journey from the front, was a John Geraghty. And John Geraghty is the district traction inspector, or executive inspector, and he was wonderful looking, actually, to spend the whole journey with him. A bodybuilder looking very wry, and works out of Brafey House, and bodybuilds around Brafey House, and the driver Oliver Nocton from Athlone. And both of these guys have been 20 to 30 years as drivers with Irish Rail. Seven carriages a day usually take around 7 carriages, about 5 trips a day in and out of Westport, and the carriages can take up to about 350 people.
Is it a busy line?
A very, very busy line. And the reason it's a busy line, because if you go past Kildare, Newbridge, Port Tarlington and Tullamore, and we had this problem during the match at the weekend, there are hundreds of what you'd call commuters. But our first stop was Port Tarlington. But anyway, it's interesting sitting in the cab going out through Park West, Cherry Orchard, Clondalkin, Kishogue, Admanstown, the new houses and the new apartments. And everywhere we go, the Baudelaire, do you know that lovely Baudelaire plant? You can nearly call the trip Baudelaire, comes up. And the countryside in Ireland is always very quick to appear. It doesn't take long to get out of our city. And beautiful fields of corn with the large, huge golden sweets, you know, the big, huge mounds of golden corn in the middle of them. Flat countryside, beautiful silver Roman arch bridges, purple wildflowers to the plains of the Curra, and where we slow down for the Waterford branch line. And also, the boys were telling me that as they were sitting there, that I said, how do you do all this signalling and all this observation and all this regulation? It's all done from the mothership at Connolly. So the first station we stopped at was Port Tarlington. And you know it because of Odlums, the eye of the owl sitting out looking at you. And interestingly enough, coming out of Port Tarlington, I said, what are those houses there completely derelict? And he said, well, they are townhouses and apartments that were built in the boom, completely neglected.
My goodness, empty.
Completely empty, with the windows taken out, everything that was anyway right in the house taken away.
So we don't know anything of the history of those.
No,
whether the developer
owns
went
them,
what,
how owns
whether
them,
they're in
now. Why they're still there. Why they're still there. And then on through the green fields and on out, and then we split to the Cork line. This raises a problem because we are now on a single line to Westport, whereas the Cork line goes off two-lined, which means that we have to use what they call loops. A loop is a kind of a pull-in, you know, where a train can pull in to let another train pass.
A lay-by sort of thing.
Exactly. And what happens is, and it happens all the time, is that there are delays, because when we pull in, you're waiting for somebody else to come or pass.
Because
you
if you've got 5 trains a day in each direction, they're bound to cross.
They're bound to cross. And this is your engineering brilliance coming here. And the times, you're absolutely right. On to Clara Station, which is the DOO, driver-only operation. And it's very interesting that the guys spoke about stripping the staff as we go west. You know, that there is not the same amount of people working in the platform, not the same amount of people working in the station, not the same amount of people around. And then we are in the loop. And what passes us by? The great freight train. Now, this is another reason. Great point in relation to rail travel, that we have capitulated to the road against the freight. And 780 tonnes of timber were on their way up from Waterford for chipboard, or towards Waterford, coming from Mayo. And if you look at something like Ballina, Ballina has become what you'd call an inland port. You know, it takes all of, instead of the trucks coming from 1,000 different areas in Ireland, they pick up from Ballina, and then they, and the freight brings the Coca-Cola or the timber up. Quilcha copped on to this up through the freight lines. Anyway, on we go past Ballincubber, Peat Bob, and past the Heath. Ireland is full of fat, heavy bushes. Everywhere you look, there are fat, heavy, thick bushes kind of rained down on themselves. Yes, you'll see them dotted everywhere. Oh, absolutely, and should not be cut. On to Athlone, and a very interesting, which we changed. Oliver Nocton got out in Athlone, and Oliver Johnson got in. What a guy. What a wonderful guy. Originally from the East Wall, father worked on the trains, mother, the grandfather worked on the trains, and the great grandfather was a station master in Ballinasloe on the famous Achill line. And he has four sons, and two of his sons are working also in the Level Crossing Control Centre. I thought he was a wonderful man. And as we were moving on the train, he was telling me about the great Athlone Bridge over the Shannon, which is a feat of engineering. He told me about the 260 farmers crossings that we're going to have to pass to Westport, blowing the horn, the purple skies, the skies full of water above us, and he said
260 farmers crossings.
Now this is the reason that the train can't keep up with the motorways, because it cannot go at 90 and 120 miles an hour because of the crossings, and some of the gates are left open, not left open. You have to be terribly careful. So we were blowing the horn, which I know the passengers can't hear, but I could hear it in the cab. And he said to me, someday, he said, we're on our way to the west. Someway day I'm going to live here. And he does live there. He lives in Newport, Oliver. So he's a wonderful train driver. On to Roscommon, which is a lovely little grey stone, symmetrically beautiful station with wrought iron turrets. And as we move out, the most beautiful image of a flock of Bible black crows blew up off the wires, and it was like we were like witches with huge fans in front of the cab. And we roar past more crossings again, the forests and the bogs of Ming and Fitzmaurice, you know, all that political trouble, on to Castlereagh with the water tower appearing in the distance, and the Castlereagh station. Tough terrain here now, and Ballyhaunis. That's tough terrain. It's kind of untouched terrain, not easily cultivated. We have the big halal plant though in Ballyhaunis, and where they kill the animals through a religious code. We went off on past drumlins and hills and fields of weed and elephantine windmills. You know, the huge big grey windmills up in the air, standing like the day of the Triffids. Do you remember the day of the Triffids?
I do indeed.
On in the rain to Clare Morris, a great station, well healed, and the sky is becoming fuller and the fields begin to disappear into the mist, and on past Balmart and Manulla Junction. And he said, if you want to go to Ballina, you have to get off here. And I felt we were in wild country, wild and free and uncultivated, and I know it well. There's a bit of it in myself, mm-hmm. that old wildness. And on to Castlebar, largest town in Mayo, 13,000 people. A small station, a very busy station, came up out of nowhere, and then huge bushy exit out of Castlebar.
And we still haven't reached Westport.
No, and next town, Westport.
But this is the point, it's a long journey.
It is, it's about a 3.5 hour journey, but you don't really feel it. And when we get into Westport, it's kind of half coloured in cloud, and I'm looking for, of course, Crowpatrick, the reek, and you're brought in by the stone, all the stone walls. They come up from Roscommon on, and also by the Mumbrisha. You know that beautiful wild plant you get in the west. It's mad yellow, a blood red plant, and it is everywhere. And in we go anyway to Westport, which is on the edge of the Atlantic, Georgian town, beautiful Georgian town, a designed town by William Leeson, stone bridges, tree-lined promenades on the Carrowbeg River, and of course you have Westport House, brought back to life by the Hugheses, kept in the people's family, by the people, I mean the people of Westport, Crowpatrick, Clue Bay, Clare Island, Keen Bay, over our Kim, as the Achill Islanders call it, and the Tidy Towns. And I went into the tiny little museum of Westport Station, and a very interesting thing happened me there. You go for one story, you get another. And I looked up at what happened in Achill, the last train they said would bring bodies into Achill, because the train used to go, you see, from Westport, from the quay, and it used to go out to Newport, Mulranny, and out to Achill, and that stopped in 1937. But at that time, in 1937, Achill labourers were burnt in a fire in Glasgow, and the prediction came through because the last train brought the bodies of those young labourers who were burnt in Glasgow, and they're buried in Achill. But I looked up, and there was a man called Michael Greel, SJ, Dr. Michael Greel, and it said, "It is the people's railway, and we are the people." And I thought, that is a man that we should be speaking to, thinking he was dead. He's not dead. He's very much alive. He is the one who was, I suppose, who was the one responsible for bringing the railway from Limerick to Galway alive. He's still alive on the railways. There are such problems on our railways of social welfare. The boys talk about social welfare recipients. What they mean by that is that people who travel free on the railway at the wrong time, when other people are paying and have no seats. They're not saying they shouldn't. They're just saying they're at the wrong time.
There used to be a rule about peak time on the
Dublin bus. It's kind of got a bit amalgamated. Also, the seat situation. Book a seat. Find your seat. Somebody's in your seat. How do you get them to go out? They might have a child. What do you do? They might have paid. That's a problem. That is a serious problem that Irish Rail are going to have to deal with. The value of the railways, the trains and the lorries, underutilising, and the funding for antisocial behaviour. Most of the fellows I've met, the cab drivers, the train drivers, the workers will say that we have to put money into the railway. And if the Greens know anything about anything, they know steel on steel is much better than tyre on tarmac. But watch this space for Michael J. McGreal, because he is
Father
something
Michael
else.
McGreal, I know him well.
Do you?
We did work together on a program called Survey many, many years ago. And I'd like to say good morning to Michael if he's listening. Senator Mary Louise O'Donnell, more next week.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much.